Lord, as we come before your word this morning, Lord, we ask and pray that you would help us to grapple with it, that you would help us to hear it, that you would help us to understand it. And Lord, although sometimes the truth does hurt, we pray, Lord, that we would learn from this and grow in you, in your name. Amen. I'm sure you have had times in your life, like I have had in mine, where somebody will come up to you and say, I want to tell you something truthfully. Sometimes you might be aware of what they're going to say. Sometimes, well, you might find yourself on the back foot, being defensive, trying to explain yourself, trying to justify why you have done things the way you have done them. But more often than not, despite my reaction when that happens to me, the truth is communicated, and often the truth helps us to learn. And we take portions of that truth with us, and we learn from it. Often, the truth hurts. Now, in a similar vein, the Bible also speaks about truth. We are happy to accept the truths that it tells us about our salvation, about us going to heaven, about the fact that we will be blessed. But what about those portions of the Bible where it speaks the truth, but it says something that we don't like to hear? What do we do with those portions of the Bible? Do we perhaps skip over them? Or just read them very quickly and move on? Or do we turn to another portion of the Bible and say, well, no, I'm not going to read that, that's too hard. I'm just going to find a nice passage and read that. See, the Bible always speaks the truth. But sometimes the truth hurts. In the passage before us this morning, in this passage in Hebrews, we're confronted with one of those truthful but possibly hurtful passages. One we would rather avoid. I think if we were just reading through Hebrews, we'd very quickly just gloss over this section and leave it alone. But friends, that's one of the joys, or could we say one of the burdens, of working systematically through God's Word. It means that when we come to these difficult passages, means when we come to these uncomfortable passages, these passages that break our worldviews, that shatter our attitudes, that we need to deal with them. We can't just skip over them. Now, having told us in the previous chapters, chapters 1 through 4, that Jesus is superior to the angels, that Jesus is like us, that Jesus is our great high priest, as we learned last week, even in the order of Melchizedek, he now confronts us on the way that we walk with the Lord, on the way that we live our lives for him. Three comments that I want to make on this morning. The first one is inactivity or inactive. Notice how the writer begins this section in verse 11. We have much to say about this. About what? Well, what he's just said about Jesus being superior to angels, about Jesus being the same as us, yet fulfilling the role of the high priest and saving us. He says, we have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. It is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. He's saying that at one point in our Christian life, we were active. We were busy for the Lord. We spent time with the Lord in God's Word, trying to understand it, trying to learn, and we would grow. But the writer is saying that now we tend to just sit back and, well, we no longer try to understand. We want everyone else to show us what this passage means. It's so easy when somebody else explains the passage to us. Why should I go to all that trouble and difficulty? And so we rather just sit back. In fact, the writer tells us that we are doing three things in our inactivity. He says, first, we are being lazy. We do not try to understand. Laziness, for many of us, might be a default setting. We'd rather sit and watch TV than try to resolve some or other problem. We would rather allow someone else to do the work for us than to do it ourselves. And when it comes to the Bibles, friends, unfortunately, we often have the very same attitude. Let somebody else do the hard work and I'll just sit here and listen. When we happen to read those difficult passages or know that a particular section is hard to understand, we tend to skip over it. We tend to ignore it. And we'd rather be lazy than work hard at trying to understand what has been said. Sure, we might all spend time reading an odd Bible verse or two in the mornings or in the evenings. But when last have you and I actually sat down and analyzed those verses and tried to understand what they are saying? The writer says we are inactive. But he also says not only are we inactive as we are lazy, but we are also ignorant in our inactivity. Verse 12. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. Why is it that we avoid the difficult passages? Well, apart from being lazy and wanting someone else to teach us, we don't understand them. We are ignorant of the greater things of God. All we know is the basic gospel message, that Jesus died and rose again for our sins and for the sins of the world. Perhaps this is why many of us struggle with religiously framed material. We seem to think that if a Bible verse is attached to something, then it must be correct. It's because we are often ignorant of the actual truth of where that Bible verse is found, because of our laziness in the Word of God. The only way to know what the truth is to read God's Word, to study it, to make an effort. The word try implies that it is hard work. The NIV says here, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. At a consultation evening a few weeks ago at the high school for matric parents and students, one of the teachers told us that the best way that Andrew can study his work, and she was talking about physics at this point, was for him to come into the lounge and to teach Helen and myself. She said that is the best way to learn. Because, number one, you have to understand the material if you want to teach it. And by teaching it, you learn it better. You see, friends, the way that we learn to understand the Bible more and more is not just by coming here and sitting here on a Sunday morning and perhaps on a Wednesday at Bible study, but is when we teach others what God's Word has to say. Yet, what does the writer say here? We still need people to teach us. See, the writer says we are inactive in that we are lazy, and in the fact that we are ignorant. But thirdly, he says that our inactivity is also due to carelessness. Verse 13 and 14 of chapter 5. Anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Friends, very often we are careless in the way that we use God's word, or that we deal with God's word. We are careless in the way we think of God's word. And really, we couldn't care less if we grow or not in the word of God. The writer uses the idea here of an infant who only drinks milk. But as that they grow up, they begin to eat solid food. Most of us here have had our own children. And we've seen that picture as the child initially drinks milk. And then slowly is put onto purity. And then slightly more solid food. Until at such stage, that child is mature enough to be able to enjoy a lovely juicy steak. Imagine the picture of a healthy full-grown man who only drinks milk from a bottle. Can you imagine him there, just sitting on mommy's lap, drinking a bottle? It's a ridiculous picture, isn't it? And that's what the writer's trying to get across to us. We've been Christians, many of us have been Christians for years and years. And he says, yet you are still drinking milk and not able to get the solid food from the Word of God. Perhaps you are a new Christian, or you've only been a Christian for a very short period of time, or perhaps you're not even a Christian yet. And that's great. But don't stop seeking and growing in the Word of God. All babies start off drinking milk, but they don't stay drinking milk. But maybe you've been a Christian for a long period of time, maybe a couple of decades, maybe half a century. And yet you still sit here and you don't understand the things of the Lord. Well, if that is you, friends, then the picture that the writer is using here in Hebrews chapter 5 of an infant drinking milk is you sitting on your mom's lap drinking milk. It's ridiculous because many of us should be teaching God's word. How many of us can't tell good use of God's word from bad use of God's word? Again, we are drinking milk, especially if we've been a Christian for any length of time. Friends, as I work through this passage, the truth certainly hurt. Because I tend to gloss over these difficult sections. I tend to not spend that much time reading God's word as I should. But hopefully we all learn from this passage that although the truth hurts, we need to grow in the Lord. We shouldn't be inactive for the Lord. We shouldn't be lazy in reading the word and ineffective and careless when it comes to God's word. We should grapple with it. Secondly, however, the writer says not only are we inactive, but we are immature. We should ensure that we are grounded in the elementary truths of the gospel. But we need to build on them as a Christian. Don't get the writer wrong here where he says in chapter 6 and verse 1, therefore let us leave the elementary teachings of Christ behind. Some people have taken that verse to mean that now we can push aside the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and we look for new things. That's not what the writer is saying here. What the writer is trying to get across is that we must learn those elementary truths and build on them. For example, I remember when I was at school, I wanted to do maths, but I was really struggling at maths, especially in my early high school years. And we knew a guy who was an engineer who was very good at maths. And he agreed to come and meet with me once a week to help me to understand what was going on. And as these lessons progressed, we began, both of us, began to realize that I had not grasped the foundations or the elementary understanding of algebra. Once, however, that he realized that and I was able to understand the basics, I built on that and I was able to do maths a lot more efficiently. It wasn't that I forgot those basics, but that I built on them so that later on, like in my matric year, I was able to do the maths required of me because I understood the basics. See, it's the same here, friends, with being a Christian. We need to build on those basics, the basics of the truth of the Word of God. That Jesus died, that Jesus rose again, that He forgave us our sins. And we build on that as we grow in the Lord. The writer says in verse 1 of chapter 6 that we build on these ideas of repentance from acts that lead to death. And he says that basically what we need to do is push aside our own sinful self and build on God's instructions. He uses the idea here of baptism or cleansing, the laying on of hands, the resurrection and the judgment. You see, friends, we tend to focus on how Christ was raised to life. We tend to focus on, is there life after death? We worry ourselves with minor practices that happen in the church instead of growing in the Word of God. We fail to repent of our sinful attitudes and actions. And we doubt that God will help us in those difficult times in our lives. And we forget God in the good times of our lives. Imagine if I was doing the trick and they asked me a question and I could only answer it with very, very basic primary school answer. Imagine how well I would have done in the finals. But friends, we tend to do that with God's Word. Many of us have been Christians for many years, yet we still struggle and still want to hear the basics of the gospel. We struggle to understand anything beyond that. Friends, it's important that we grow in God's Word. That we don't just continually focus on the little elements, but that we build on them to have a bigger and greater understanding of who God is. The last comment that the writer makes here is not just inactivity and immaturity, but infidelity. Now you might think the word infidelity comes along and really just speaks about being disloyal in terms of sexual activity. But it also carries with it the idea of being unfaithful or disloyal or cheating to any obligation that we have. The writer tells us that we are unfaithful to the truth and that we often bring the truth into disrepute. He speaks here of three things in how we dishonor the Lord. The first one, and you'll see this here in verse 4, is that we despise the gift of God. For many of us, when we initially received the message of Jesus, we received it with excitement, with enthusiasm. But as time has gone on, we've actually ignored that gift that God has given us. Of course, that gift that God has given us is the gift of His Son. And we don't get excited about that anymore. But he says we also, verse 4, forget the Holy Spirit. even though we had at some point tasted the goodness of God's word and the power of knowing Him, we forget it. We leave it behind. And we grumble, we moan, we complain. We do not trust God like we should. For me, there's no worse advert for Christianity than someone who was once in the church and now has nothing to do with it. In fact, the writer tells us that when someone is like this, that they cannot actually come back to God. And we want to chat then at some stage about, can we lose our salvation? If we truly commit to God, we actually can't. In other words, this is a picture of someone who puts on a good show, comes to church on Sunday, perhaps even gets involved in the church, knows the message of Jesus, knows the gift of God and how the Holy Spirit can help you and how God's word is good, and yet does not apply it to their lives. I saw a car a while ago, a few Bible verses painted on it, and of course I stopped just to have a look at the verses, and some of the verses were fantastic. But then at the bottom of the car was a little phrase written almost along the bottom skirt of the car, below the doors. Come and give Jesus a try. And I thought, well, that's great, but do we try Jesus? Or do we welcome Jesus into our heart? Trying Jesus to me implies that, well, I'm going to try Him, and if He doesn't work, then I'll try the next one, and if that doesn't work, and I'll keep going until I find something that works. You see, Jesus is not something that we just try on, like you're going to buy clothes at the clothing shop. Let me try these on, see if they fit. No. We turn to Jesus. We follow Jesus at all costs. We give our lives to Jesus because He gave His life for us. So the writer says, don't be unfaithful as we despise the gift of God. Second, he says that we shouldn't be unfaithful to the Lord God by actually crucifying Him over and over again. Look at verse 6. If we fall away, to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting Him to public disgrace. What does that all mean? Well, simply it means that if I claim to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, yet I live my life for my own glory, for my own good, doing my own thing and ignoring God's commands, I'm bringing Jesus' name into public disgrace. And it is like I'm saying, Jesus, you must die for me again and again and again. See, the writer says that we must not be unfaithful to God. Lastly, the writer says that we must not be unfaithful and forfeit the blessings of God. Verse 7 and 8. The land drinks in the rain that often falls on it, and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed, and they receive the blessing of God. But the land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. You see the picture here that the writer is trying to paint for us? God will bless those who grow in Him, who build their foundations on the gospel, who study the Word, who eat the solid food of the Word of God. They will be blessed. But those who half-heartedly follow the Lord are like thorns and thistles and will eventually be burned by the Lord. As we pull things together this morning, let me just mention that all of us, I believe, can see ourselves at some point within this passage today. we all tend to be inactive, myself included. We all tend to be immature. We all tend to be unfaithful to the Lord. Some of you might be totally inactive, totally immature, and totally unfaithful to the Lord. But wherever we are within the spectrum that's mentioned here, the message is the same for all of us. We need to live for Jesus because of who He is. Yes, the truth hurts. Yes, we might be squirming in our seats as we read this passage. But let's not grow hard. Let's not harden our hearts to God's word. But let's learn how we can grow in Him. Let's move from drinking the milk of God's word to being solid food eaters in God's word. Let's move from just being taught to being teachers of God's word. Let's move from being inactive to active, from immature to mature, from unfaithful to faithful. In all of this, though, let me just remind you that God does forgive. So even though you might have drifted from Him, even though you might have left Him behind, come back to Him, turn to Him, repent, and He will welcome you back into His presence. So there's still hope in this passage. Don't get discouraged by it. Learn from it. Grow in it. And you'll notice here, in fact, the section that we're going to look at next week, God willing, the writer says, verse 9, even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case. Next week we'll pick up on that, a much more positive element to this whole thing. But this morning, the truth is the truth. And maybe it's hurt you, but let's learn from it and let's grow in the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we do just thank You for Your word this morning. Lord, we thank You for passages like this in the Bible that just point us back to You. Lord, help us not to be hard-hearted by this passage. Help us not to throw this passage aside and say, it's not really me. But help us, Lord, to learn where we can from Your word so that we might grow into being more and more like the people You want us to be. Lord, help us. Move us, Lord, from being immature, from being inactive and unfaithful, to living for You. And we ask this in Your name. Amen. Friends, we